This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Palestinian men in northern Gaza have been pulling children out of the rubble after new Israeli airstrikes targeting Hamas. Doctors in southern Khan Yunis say at least 12 people were killed in a hit on a residential building. All a day after President Biden's visit and agreements with Israel and Egypt leaders to allow humanitarian aid into Gaza. Mohsen Sarhan heads an Egyptian food bank, still waiting for a green light from Israeli officials.
At the border, there are around 120 trucks stationed there. And then you have also around 7 to 8 cargo planes load of supplies.
President Biden returned to the White House early this morning. Tonight, he'll address the nation in a primetime address. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe.
The White House says the president's speech tonight is designed to lay out how the U.S. will respond to the Hamas attacks on Israel and to the continuing war in Ukraine. CBS News has learned the White House is preparing to ask Congress for roughly $100 billion over the next year, and that would include ensuring Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system is fully supplied.
The president's request for aid will be stuck on Capitol Hill until Republicans agree on a new House speaker. They'll take a third vote on Jim Jordan, who lost more GOP support yesterday. Nebraska Republican Don Bacon says a family member's been threatened over his own opposition.
He started sending texts to my wife anonymously, calling her anonymously with threats. It's wrong.
A homicide at an East Coast military base. CBS's Jim Krasula has the details.
Military investigators are handling a murder case in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. A Marine was killed in a barracks Wednesday evening, and a second Marine was taken into custody. No other information has been released, including how the Marine died.
Weekly unemployment claims have dropped to their lowest level in 8 months. Bankrate's Mark Hamrick.
The level of new claims matches that of a year ago. This aligns with some other recent signals pointing to a strong economy, with the recent surprising showing for retail sales.
We'll find out how the housing market's responding to rising mortgage rates when the National Association of Realtors releases its new report on existing home sales this hour. Netflix just cracked down on password sharing and pumped up revenue, but it's raising prices anyway. Basic plans will go from $10 to $12. CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur.
As competition between streaming companies has been heating up, they've also been increasing prices to help make bigger and better shows and movies to draw people in.
Netflix premium plans will go from $20 to $23. Dow down 18. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Car thefts at Pottawatomie Casino are still on the rise. According to Milwaukee police, 14 cars have been stolen from the casino since the end of last month. The majority of the stolen vehicles are Kias or Hyundais. Casino managers are taking steps to monitor their parking garages more closely. As of now, there are no reported arrests in connection with the incidents. Waukesha Fire and Rescue is on track for a record year. In the first three quarters of the year, data shows that call volume increased to just over an average of 26 calls a day. That puts the department on track to receive over 9,200 calls total this year, which would be a record for the fire department. The analysis shows Wednesdays and Fridays are the busiest days of the week for calls, with Saturdays being the slowest. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players.
We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council. Now at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Thursday, October 19th. Greg Buck is on the board. We have several guests going to be joining us in hour two of the show. Coming up at 11:06, Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here for our public service announcement. So if you have any questions for her, you can always text them in at 844-967-2789. Or shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And then at 11:33, sports reporter Paul Noonan is back to update us on what's going on with the stadium deal. There's some Bucks news this morning, so we will be covering all of that and more. Going to start off, though, and we talked about this quite a bit yesterday at the top of the show, Greg Buck, the actions by Republicans in Wisconsin to, as Pat Kreitlow put it, the unprecedented political massacre that they did this week by firing a bunch of Governor Evers' appointees. And Pat Kreitlow is going to be joining us coming up at 10:30 just to give us a little bit more context about that. But as I was looking around at things this morning, I found this article at JS Online written by Paul Smith. And the headline is, "Wolves are a keystone species in nature, but at the center of a political divide." So there's this new wolf plan that they've been working on as far as how many wolves can be harvested on an annual basis. Obviously, there is a pro-wolf hunt faction. There is a anti-wolf hunt faction. But as Paul Smith says in this article today, that the firings that happened earlier this week are essentially politically motivated.
Yes.
So Smith says on Tuesday, Republicans who control the Senate took the unprecedented action to reject four well-qualified appointees to the Natural Resources Board. The goal reportedly to deny the NRB a quorum when it meets next week. It's meeting October 25th. The reason, according to this article from Paul Smith, to prevent the board from approving an update to the state's wolf management plan.
Awesome. Mike.
Yeah, we have reached a point in Wisconsin where angst over wolves is driving political action on legally required board appointments with the intent to interfere with board activity. So this is just to gum up. This is intended to gum up the works of government.
Yeah, because once again, that's what Republicans do. They don't get their way or they don't like something. They're like, that's just
change the rules.
Change the rules. Take our ball. Go home.
Governor Evers, of course, did appoint four new people to the board within minutes of those rejections. Yeah. But there's nothing to say that the Senate Republicans won't just do this again.
Yeah. I mean, they're the kings of gavel in, gavel out. So why wouldn't they just keep doing this?
Yeah. Paul Smith says none of the senators mentioned wolves in the few public statements that were made after that vote. Sources in Madison confirming wolf management, the central issue in the Republicans' decision to reject the appointees. It's just so disappointing.
It's that like you're just watching children.
And that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
It does. Instead of acting in good faith, they just like to gum things up and slow things down or derail things if it's not going their way.
Yep.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to call in and or text. Wolves in Wisconsin were subject to bounties, killed by any means possible as late as the 1950s. In the 1970s, buoyed by protections, including the Endangered Species Act, wolves began dispersing from a core population in northern Minnesota into Wisconsin. So over the last five decades now, we have about 1,000 wolves in the state. The DNR is trying to update the Wisconsin Wolf Management Plan. Let us know what you think about this. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. We have Sharky calling in from Racine. Good morning, Sharky. Hi, Sharky. How you doing?
Good morning. Hey, thanks for all the service out there for the messages you're doing here. Are we live at this point?
We are live. You are on the air.
Absolutely. Thank you. So you probably think I'm nuts on this one, but I've lived in Racine County for a good 40 years. And we have wolves, and we have situations where the people in Madison, our dear friends, the Boss and Company, they deregulated over 6,000 acres of property that is supposed to be wetlands for development. So they're kissing butts with developers, the scoundrel developers and the scoundrel realtors that are out there working nose to nose with our people up in Madison. So they continue to build and make money, and it's one big quid pro quo. It's disgusting. I've been watching this. I've been listening to this, and it's more than just the wolves. I love the wolves, and I hope the wolves are okay. But I tell you what, it's disgusting. And they got their hand on the trigger of the dollar bill, and it's just beyond the pale to even look at these people when I have to live in this county. It's terrible. So that's the other thing. And on the bottom line, too, is I listen to a lot of older people, and I'm pretty old now. But if you continue to listen, I've heard it once. I've heard it 50 times in the last 2 years. The older folks really think that people's like the people in these developers and these realtors, they're pushing to make Wisconsin the next Florida. And when I hear that from these beautiful older people that are older than me, I just want to cry. I just want to cry.
I appreciate your call, Sharky. Thank you so much. 844.
You betcha. Thank you.
967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Again, this article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from reporter Paul Smith, talking about the recent firing of a bunch of Governor Evers appointees on the Natural Resources Board. And Mr. Smith contends that this is a political issue. The only reason they did this is for politics. And they don't want this updated wolf plan, which has been in the works for a long time.
Yeah, politics, retaliation, revenge, all the stuff. Just making it not work because they can.
This should be frustrating to every resident in Wisconsin that one political party in particular wants to slow everything down, wants to gum everything up, apparently don't want to govern. They're just obstructionists.
Obstructionists, I guess, and it may be a stupid question to ask, but, I'd love for someone to answer the question, in the long run, what does this gain them? What is their goal? If it's just to gum it up, all right, mission is accomplishing.
Yeah.
But is there an overarching plan? Do you have something else that, it's sort of, it puts into my brain the whole Brewers deal. Like, you had this plan that was really good, and then you said, nope, we're not going to do this. We're going to do it this way instead. And now it's all craziness because they have no real plan.
Right, right. The draft wolf plan does not include a statewide population goal. It follows a management strategy similar to the Wisconsin Black Bear Management Plan. And again, I would think that this is something that we need to have something in place. We need to have some kind of quotas or some kind of plan moving forward with this. And I just lost my internet connection. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Wally is on the line from Fond du Lac. Good morning, Wally.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great, thank you. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Is this the show getting canceled?
Is this show getting canceled?
Yeah, isn't there a show getting canceled?
That is not As Goes Wisconsin. Are you disappointed?
Nope. Are you sad about that, Wally?
Yes, I am. Very sad.
You want us to be canceled?
No. There's a show. I forget. My friend had told me. I can't remember what show he said.
Well, Wally, we're here for you right now.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem, buddy.
Did you want to comment on the move by the Republicans in the Senate, Wally, and firing Governor Evers' 4 appointees to the Natural Resources Board?
It's just politics. It's just unbelievable.
Agreed.
Terrible. Just terrible.
All right. Well, thank you for checking in. Have a good day. 844-967-2789.
Wally made me feel good right there. He wants us to be on the air.
Which is nice. I thought maybe he was hoping we would be canceled.
How bad would it be that if we, like, Kristen, go on your maternity leave.
And then don't come back.
Enjoy your baby. Enjoy your life. It's like when you, like, the parents leave the house and you're like, don't throw a party. We're not going to throw a party. Then we throw a party. Oh, we're in trouble.
Big trouble.
Big trouble.
Big trouble. Well, again, we're going to talk more about this with Pat Kreitlow, who's going to be joining us at 10:33. And as I mentioned earlier, we did a long segment about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Based on Pat's article that's in Up North News. So it's upnorthwi.com. And he titled it an unprecedented political massacre, which I just think is so
truly
so good.
An amazing title. Just the title alone.
Yeah. And we're going to get into more details about that. But we're coming up against the break. When we come back, GOP in disarray, episode 97.
Yeah.
Still no Speaker of the House in Washington, D.C. We'll have an update for you on that.
The Jim Jordaning.
The Jim Jordaning of D.C. That mess continues. I believe they're going to be holding another vote today on whether or not to elect him as Speaker, although things I've been seeing on the internet this morning kind of implied that he's expected to lose even more votes.
Yeah, and I was
than he lost yesterday.
I wanted to play the Price is Right loser horn right there, but you know, you just do it in your head now.
No, you can hear it in your head. All right. We're gonna come back. I hope you will stay with us. Call and or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and you're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A great football matchup brewing as Carroll University welcomes Wheaton College to Schneider Stadium this Saturday, October 21st. The Pioneers, 4-1, Thunder, 5-1, ranked 13th in the country and 2nd in the CCIW. You can catch all of the action live with Don, Johnny, and Triple G. Pregame at 12:30, kickoff at 1 p.m. It's the Pios and the Thunder this Saturday afternoon on the Shaw, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and the Civic Media app.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out!
What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. Highs level off around 60, west winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 48. Cloudy skies expected. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Highs level off around 59. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 50 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK. Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM.
Net yet canceled Glasgow's Wisconsin. Jay Matt Mayor's Billy and for Kristen Fry. And Greg Bach is on the board, and you are here as well. Thank you for joining us. 844-967-2789. Talking about an article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from reporter Paul Smith, where he basically says that one of the reasons why the Senate Republicans fired a whole bunch of Governor Evers appointees to the Natural Resources Board is because they are supposed to be meeting next week to talk about a wolf plan in Wisconsin, and apparently they don't want that to happen. We do have a text. Some interesting callers this morning. Maybe the pending time change is already affecting them. You raise a good point. I'm curious as to the GOP's long-term plan and goals and how their current actions push the goals forward. Not from the perspective of the elected idiots, but from the blue-collar Republican voters who actually pay taxes. I don't know that they have any plans. Well, I don't know that they have any long-term outlines.
And that's what we were talking about yesterday with regard to the, you know, it is very true. The Popcorn King-led GOP in Madison, he made it very clear to us when I worked in government that they were going to stranglehold us. They were going to punish us. And at the end of the day, okay, fine, do what you want. You hold the pens, but you're punishing the people who voted for you too. Those people live in our district,
right?
And the things that you want to do will punish them, will hurt them. And at the end of the day, they know that they're just going to go and say, we couldn't get this done because of the liberals and those people who voted for them being affected by the policies those GOP lawmakers enacted. They'd be like, yeah, you're right. Those dang liberals.
Yeah.
It sucks. It really, I mean, honestly, and I say that from working in small government is one of the hardest jobs I've ever had.
It's, I bet,
thankless. It has to be incredibly bipartisan because we're not a big city. We have to work with everybody
and respond to your constituents
Well, because, you know, the ones who like you aren't writing you the letters.
Very rarely.
Yeah. When you get one of those, it's like, let's throw a parade. We did a good job today.
Somebody likes something we did.
So to listen to, you know, when you just want to tell them like, hey, I know you're angry and I can tell you why you're angry, but it's just going to sound like me making an excuse then. We just want to get the work done.
Yeah. Well, moving on to the disarray in Washington. Jim Jordan is still not Speaker of the House.
What?
I know. after two failed votes this week. One Republican holdout, Representative Don Bacon, who we mentioned yesterday, he explained he opposes Jordan on principle because he doesn't think Kevin McCarthy should have been removed at all. Yeah. He voted for McCarthy on Tuesday and also yesterday, and he said Tuesday evening he and his wife had started getting threatening anonymous texts because he wouldn't vote for Jim Jordan.
I'd like to know if there's recourse for that. Like, I mean, you are a sitting elected official. You're getting threatening text messages. Can you report that to the cops? Do you even do that? I mean, I'm sure you don't because you don't want to get into more hot water.
Right.
But I do not know who greenlit that idea.
And it's not, that was not a wise thing to do. Apparently, no. Because Don Bacon did talk to NBC. He said Jordan is headed for defeat. Fellow House Republicans who oppose Jim Jordan are not going to let off. And this is the kicker. Their tactics angered us. They're harassing our spouses, even. Jordan hit a brick wall.
They've and unleashed a monster.
They have. They really have. Now they're afraid of their own constituents.
Yep.
That's horrifying. That's just horrifying.
The GOP's leaving me speechless. Like, because I mean, this is like movie bullying tactics. Like, it would be hilarious if it wasn't absolutely terrifying because it's happening in real life.
Yeah. Some Republicans, Jordan's supporters, express concern the pressure campaign is counterproductive. No, you think?
What?
And a House Republican who spoke anonymously to Politico said that Jim Jordan is ticking off caucus members who have supported him by all his frantic phone calls trying to gin up support. So at least as of right now, it looks like the temporary speaker, Patrick McHenry,
yeah,
there may be a move to try and put him forward or at least increase his powers so that the House can actually get something done. We need some We need some appropriations measures for aid to Israel and other things. Life doesn't stop just because the House can't come to an agreement or behave like adults.
Well, and the president's going to be making an announcement tonight for more aid overseas. And I'm sure that's going to be part of the things like, hey, I want to do this stuff. Can you get your house in order?
Yeah.
Literally?
Literally. Literally. Get your house in order. All right. Well, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News is going to be joining us when we come back from the bottom of the hour break. We have a little news coming up next, and then we're going to rehash, and I still love this headline that Pat wrote, the unprecedented political massacre that happened in Wisconsin this week when the Senate GOP fired a whole slew of Governor Evers appointees. We're going to recap that coming up next. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and you are listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
CBS News Special Report, a major development in former President Trump's election interference case in Georgia. A day before her trial was set to begin, his former attorney, Sidney Powell, has pleaded guilty to subversion. The conditions of the plea deal.
You understand that the state is asking that a $6,000 fine be imposed, a restitution of $2,700 be paid to the state of Georgia.
Powell has also agreed to write an apology letter to the people of Georgia. And that's not all. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
She will now testify against other defendants in their election interference cases in Georgia. And who is another one of these defendants? It's the former president of the United States.
Powell's guilty plea means attorney Kenneth Chesbro will go on trial by himself tomorrow after both he and Powell filed demands for a speedy trial. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. State investigators are looking into the situation yesterday in Watertown after a man was killed by police while pointing a gun at officers. The scene was not far from Luther Prep, and the school did lock down briefly. Police initially responded to a property damage call when the suspect took off, then turned towards officers with a gun in his hand. That's when at least one officer shot and killed him. A Milwaukee lawmaker has proposed implementing a $2 or $3 ticket tax on Milwaukee Brewers games at the ballpark. State Senator Tim Carpenter says the tax would generate funds for the stadium's renovations and maintenance. Carpenter estimates that a $3 per ticket tax could potentially generate over $7 million. Republicans in the Capitol are exploring the possibility of taxing non-Brewer events at the ballpark. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly.
Time out! What is going on? This has to stop.
Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network. Go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. And joining us on the phone, you hear him weekdays from 6 to 8 a.m. right here on WAUK. And I always listen as I'm driving out here to Waukesha. Pat Kreitlow squeezing us in. Good morning, Pat. Thank you so much. I know you have an appointment that you need to get to, but you were graciously agreed to make a little time for us this morning. How you doing?
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. It's so nice to be here. Sorry I can't join you through on camera through StreamYard as usual, but, you know, you got to run those errands where you can.
Absolutely. Well, before we get to your article that was in Up North News, which is so great, and we're going to give you a prize for great news headline writing headlines for your unprecedented political massacre. We love that. But just as we were going to break, Pat, news came out that it looks like Jim Jordan's efforts to become Speaker of the House are over. Punchbowl News reporting.
Well, I can't.
Yeah, Punchbowl News is reporting that Jordan is not going to do a third ballot. He will now support Patrick McHenry as interim speaker until January of 2024. Over the past 48 hours, Republicans getting threats for refusing to support him, and that apparently did not play well with Republicans in the House.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked to find out that these folks who love to do the bullying don't like being bullied themselves.
Isn't that remarkable?
It's very surprising. Yes, very much so. But look, it, first off, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. This is somebody who should not even have ever been in the running for speaker. And frankly, it's going to be a stain on all of Wisconsin's congressional Republicans that they voted for this guy the first couple of times through. There were other people that they could have considered that actually would like to, you know, govern rather than be against everything before shutting down the government, be against a farm bill that, you know, Wisconsin needs so badly. So I don't know where they go next, but I was worried for a second here. You were about to tell me that you had just found out that he had just won the speakership, and that would have changed my day entirely.
Oh, most definitely. Now, again, this is only one report that I have seen so far that Jim Jordan has taken himself out of the speaker's race after losing the last two votes, and there were promises from Republican House members that he was going to lose even more votes today. So the one thing, though, Pat, this doesn't preclude him from waiting until next year when Patrick McHenry's term runs out and then throwing his name in the race again.
Oh, of course not. I mean, you know, all bets are off with every session that comes. I mean, we never thought year by year Congress would continue swinging further to the right the way that congressional Republicans have done. So it's possible, although the question that I asked this morning on Up North News Radio was, you know, where are we in this fork in the road? Is this, an onerous sign of things to come if voters continue to reward people who, play footsie with authoritarian behavior? Or is this the dying gasp of the extreme fringe of a party where voters next time around are going to give them, you know, the comeuppance they deserve? And you really can't use the word comeuppance enough here, but will they say you've gotten too big for your britches? And like they did in, say, 2006, you know, give a Democratic wave next time around.
Yeah, it will be very interesting going forward. And I think you make a great point, just in that these guys may not have as much influence as we thought they did or gave them credit for having, when you have even members of their own party in the House not liking the tactics that they're using. That would be very interesting to see if there's going to be growing backlash, you know, to the leopards eating people's faces party, but they'll never eat my face.
Well, I mean, the question I have then too is it going to be easier then for these individuals to get primaried with someone who's just like, hey, I'm a Republican, I believe in X, Y, and Z. The election happened, Joe Biden's the president, I'm not a fan of it, but I want to do something about it. Vote for me in the primaries, because dude be crazy.
That would be an interesting campaign slogan. Dude be crazy. Pat Kreitlow is our guest. You can hear him every weekday morning from 6 to 8 right here on WAUK. You had a great, great article, Pat, in Up North News. You can find upnorthnewswi.com, where you talk about the Senate firing a whole bunch of Governor Evers appointees this week. And you called it an unprecedented political massacre. Now, there was an article that we were talking about beforehand. Yes, well done. From Paul Smith in today's Journal Sentinel. And he essentially says that one of the reasons why they got rid of Governor Evers' appointees to the National Resources Board is because they don't want a quorum next week when the NRB meets on October 25th to approve an update to the state's wolf management plan.
Well, it's just, again, then, if so, another case of the micromanagement that this bunch wants in the Republican Legislative Congress. These were the folks who came in on a wave of chanting that they were the party of local control. They were the party of small government. And they have proceeded to either bigfoot local units of government or impose their will in anything that doesn't go the way that they like. And so if a board or an agency or a council is doing something they don't like, they just go ahead and replace those people, or at least fire those people. And what that is hostile to democracy. Tony Evers, like it or not, won the election. And a duly elected governor names their cabinet, names their agency heads, names these wonderful people who are citizen servants who serve on these councils and boards with no pay. They bring their expertise to this. And for these legislators to have time to micromanage these boards in a way, it really gets in the way of, you know, what you would call representative democracy. And again, you know, does play fast and loose with the notion of what would an authoritarian government do?
Yeah.
They would do something like, we don't like this one thing you're going to vote on, so we're going to fire you.
And I think it's really an important point as well that these people are volunteering to do this. It's not like they're picking up a nice big fat paycheck or it's some sexy thing that you go to. Yeah. I don't know. Do you go bragging around to your friends? I'm on the National Resources Board.
No, you don't. And look, they've done it as well at the salaried level. They fired Brad Paff as, you know, heading the Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection. Again, something that is, you know, almost without precedent. It's just that to show how petty they are to go, not just be willing to fire cabinet secretaries, but go down to the level of, you know, some of these councils. This is the governor's council on domestic abuse, where they fired Melissa Baldoff, a domestic abuse survivor, because they didn't like her mean tweet.
That just,
what small people they are.
Honestly, Pat, when I read that in your article, that just made my head explode. Gee, she's a survivor of domestic abuse. And so they printed out all the tweets she ever had. And in some of those tweets, she sounded somewhat angry. No, really?
Yeah. And for Senator Jesse James, from here in the Chippewa Valley, the former police chief of Altoona, to say, as Melissa said, he did, to ask, you know, do you hate all men? And were you emotional when you made those tweets? It again, just ruins any kind of goodwill that I know he tries to build from time to time here in the Chippewa Valley, and perhaps in the legislature as well. But what insight into what these folks really think and how they want to run state government.
And it's just so insulting, I think, as a woman asking Melissa Baldoff if she hates all men and if she was emotional. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I'm a domestic abuse survivor. And no, I don't hate all men, but I don't necessarily like men who are abusers. And that makes me emotional. What a terrible thing to ask her or to say to her.
And even if it was just for her political stances on day-to-day matters, yes, she's a former top aide to Governor Tony Evers. Yes, she's clearly a progressive. But to fire somebody from a council for that reason as well is still so beyond what we would expect to see, what we've all come to see in our lifetimes. That is not how America works. And I don't mean to wave the flag here, but I want to make sure people don't normalize this behavior. You and I both know we have friends who don't plug into politics very much, and their response to all this might be, oh, I'm sure both sides do it. I'm sure it's happened. You know, no, this is not normal. And let's not normalize this behavior. Let's call it out.
They also, Republicans also fired Jerry Halverson from a board that hears challenges on where to build livestock facilities because of opposition by business groups. And I assume that has to do with CAFOs, right, Pat?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, the party that claims to be for local control wants to be able to micromanage and set all the rules for these industrial farms, and they don't want anybody getting in their way. So again, you've got, much like we normally say about Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, in this case, you once again have big business calling the shots for how our government should be run. It's what's good for business rather than what's good for Wisconsin's natural resources.
And I would have to imagine that some of these smaller communities, because those are largely the ones, if not entirely the ones, that are being affected by these CAFOs, should be up in arms about this.
Oh, they should be. And they have been in the past, again, as starting with, I mean, Tom Tiffany was a champion of that in the legislature before he was elected to Congress, of saying, you know, that they're for local control, but then coming in and saying, well, we know best and you're not in a position any longer to stop, you know, a spread of manure from ruining a trout stream or drinking water supply.
We're talking to Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. You can hear him every morning, 6 to 8 a.m. right here on WAUK. They also fired Joe Czarnecki from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And that also sounds like a very petty. He stood up for Megan Wolf, who they've been trying to get rid of. He stood up for her, and that's why they got rid of him.
Exactly. They made noise about impeaching Megan Wolf, the Elections Commission Administrator. They actually took a vote in the Senate to fire her, knowing full well that that vote was extra legal. It was not based in anything based in law. They've now admitted as much in court filings.
Right.
But they did fire one of the Democratic members of the State Elections Commission, himself a former legislator. The same with Sheldon Wasserman from the Medical Examining Board, himself a former legislator. So professional courtesy is out the window. Professional respect is out the window. It is, how do we get really small, petty, and partisan with every one of these things, including playing mischief with the State Elections Commission?
And they're still sitting on like 100 of Governor Evers' appointees.
Yes, after all of these years, you know, well into the governor's second term, they're doing this. And it just, again, points out that the system that we currently have is not a great one. People get nominated. They can start doing the job. They don't have to wait for Senate confirmation, but that means the Senate can sit on the nomination for years now, take a vote to reject the nomination. That, in essence, fires them. That's not how the process should work, but nobody had ever abused the process like that to this extent, well, at all, much less to this extent, until Republicans came in and weaponized it and put it on steroids. So this confirmation process has to change as well, that the Senate has a certain window, 60 days or something, to find out that these folks are, you know, they're criminal. There's some kind of misdeed, so we're not going to confirm their nomination. But to leave this hanging over them is a gross abuse of what the Senate confirmation process is supposed to be. And we need to elect more reformers who are going to change it someday.
We just got a minute left, Pat. I want to tell folks, go to myvote.wi.gov. That will tell you who all of your elected officials are and how to contact them. And as we found out from Todd Alba and some other people, it does make a difference. If you are their constituent and you call and you're respectful, they at least have to listen to the message that you leave.
They do. I've done it myself.
All right. Yep. Pat Kreitlow, listen to him weekday mornings. Thank you so much, Pat. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Have a great day. We'll be right back after the break. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association. If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Slight chance for scattered rain showers this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 60. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers again tonight. Lows dip down to about 48. Cloudy skies expected. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. High of 59. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 50 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jay Matnier in for Kristen Bry. Greg is on the board, and we are taking your calls and your texts at 844-967-2789. Boy, Greg, it is an avalanche of news kind of day.
Oh, my gosh. I know. It's a mountain of news falling upon our houses.
Watch your head.
Watch your head and watch the news.
Because not only is Jim Jordan taking himself out of the race for Speaker of the House, Donald Trump attorney Sidney Powell has accepted a plea deal in Georgia to avoid jail time in return to for testifying to prosecutors in that racketeering trial, which includes the former president. And this could likely have major implications for Donald Trump's many other trials that are also going on. Nicely placed.
Thank you.
In case you have forgotten, Sidney Powell was the lawyer who came out and said there's absolute proof that the 2020 election was rigged and stolen and dead Hugo Chavez was responsible and we have all the proof and we're going to release the Kraken. Release the Kraken. And now the Kraken is cracking.
More like the cracking of your butt. Because you're talking out of it. Am I right?
We have a news clip that ran earlier this morning. This is from CNN. Let's take a listen to this.
This is quite a significant development this morning, John and Kate. What we have now is Sidney Powell, one of the top lawyers that was working for Donald Trump after the 2020 election. She is pleading guilty in the election subversion case that she is charged criminally in Georgia. This is the state level case against her and 18 other defendants, including Donald Trump, including Mark Meadows, including Rudy Giuliani. And in that case, she is not only pleading guilty to some charges there, she's in court currently at this very moment entering that plea before a judge. She also is agreeing as part of this deal to testify at future trials. So Sidney Powell is lined up essentially to go to trial at the end of this week alongside one other defendant in that case, another lawyer, Ken Chesbro. She's not going to be going to trial now. So she's taking this plea deal. She will not have that trial. She will also be in a situation where prosecutors will be recommending her to avoid jail time as part of this deal. But it's significant that not only is she avoiding the trial, not only is she putting in this guilty plea, that she is very likely to become a witness against Donald Trump and the others as they go to trial in Georgia.
There's got to be some people sweating bullets right now.
No one's sweating his spray tan off more than the former POTUS himself. I have to imagine they put him in a room with very breakable things, and he just goes Citizen Kane hog wild.
Throwing things, smashing things. Because she was a very big loyalist to Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, that speaks volumes, though, what you were saying in what was happening a couple years ago. Her loyalty was that she was saying these fairly unhinged statements.
Yes.
And now all of a sudden, time to save your own tuchus, huh, Cindy? Sydney?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and from what I understand, she is only going to be sentenced to probation, like 6 years of probation and a small fine. It's not like she's not going to serve any jail time, and it will be interesting to see how many times she's going to have to move or change her phone number or hide from people who formerly supported her and now are going to turn on her because she's decided that she wants to defend herself. Texter from the 262, I know we've all thought this probably 100 times before, but it feels like Sidney Powell turning on Trump and now Jim Jordan dropping out of the speaker race is the beginning of the end of MAGA power over our government. I sure hope so. I feel bad for the Kraken, though. It's been locked up for so long. Just release the Kraken for a bit so she can stretch her legs.
She'll stretch those legs in an 8x8 cell.
Yeah, and not serving jail time also from the 262 means that Sidney Powell has juicy stuff on Trump.
We'll see if she has the guts to say something, because if they're texting GOP lawmakers over the speakership, can you imagine the pressure she's going to get from people on this? I mean, it's going to come from all sides, political, personal. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she has her own security, and I'm not being funny. I'm for real.
And I think that's tragic. I do. I think that is absolutely horrifying that in this day and age, people feel perfectly comfortable with threatening our elected officials, threatening election workers, mm-hmm. and that people have to go into hiding or move. Or like Mitt Romney, although he's got the money, shelling out $5,000 a day for security for his own family.
Yeah.
And these are because of threats by members, I assume, of their own party.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know any liberals who want to kidnap a Romney.
It's a very sad state of affairs. And what the texter said, hopefully, maybe now the fever will start breaking.
I mean, that's the thing is, I feel like it already has. You look at the Kevin McCarthy thing and how it failed spectacularly. Jim Jordan.
Flamed out.
You're seeing elections being lost over abortion, which was not a popular thing to run on. I feel like the fever is already broke, but now you're starting to see the pieces fall away. But my big fear is the residuals, the residue. Because the residue, you can scratch at that residue all day long and it's not going anywhere. And they're always going to be on the sidelines going, well, you know, the election really wasn't for real. And they're just going to gum things up and gin people up again.
It will be interesting to see what happens going forward. I can't wait to hear some of her testimony. We'll have to pop popcorn and we'll have party favors and
maybe we can get an endorsement deal from the Popcorn King. Robin, are you listening? Can you send us some free popcorn? And we'll definitely talk about how good it is.
For sure. Yes. Send it right in. All right. We are coming up to the top of the hour news. When we come back, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here for our weekly public cervix announcement. If you have questions for her, you can always text them in at 844-967-2789 or shoot us an email to asgoeswisconsin.civicmedia.us. Stay with us. We'll be right after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.